are celebrating a milestone birthday here on Easter weekend, and one of our dear saints and servants of the church, Miss Virginia Sleeman, is turning 90 years old. Where is she? Where is she? Hey, she's right in the back row. Give us a note, Caleb. That's not just some idea. And I can't think of any better way to tell you that God keeps God's word is to get out of the way and let a few people come on up here and tell you exactly how Easter, how the promise of new life, how the promise of God overcoming hardships and death, separation, having them come forward and briefly just share with you a word about how that promise is becoming real in their life. I hope as they tell their story, you sit back for a minute and go, huh, I got a story like that too. I don't want anyone to leave here today and not think that the promise we proclaim today isn't available to all people. So I get out of the way and let some of these people tell you how that promise is becoming real in their life.
Good morning. My name is Amber Evans, and I celebrate the strength and determination that God has given me to transform myself physically by losing 65 pounds, but more importantly, transforming me spiritually.
Hi, I'm Myra Moreland. I always celebrate my family here. But this year I have something new to celebrate. I have a new church. Amen. Yeah, I do. I have a whole group of new friends. And with God's blessing, I have a new career in ministry. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Bob Prudhomme. A few short years ago, I was spiritually bankrupt. I could not find direction. I could not find a source for that direction. I never stopped searching. And I like to joke that one day God tossed me off a scaffolding 25 feet, broke my neck, broke my leg, broke my hips, crushed vertebrae in my back, tore my shoulder. And my response was, really, this is the answer? I found out over time that God did not shove me off that scaffolding, that I fell off that scaffolding, and on the way down, by the time I hit the ground, my first word was, oh God, and I'll never forget that. God has lifted me up, put me back together physically, emotionally, well, somewhat emotionally, but most importantly, spiritually, and given me direction in my life where the passions that I have always had for ecology and sustainability, and people, you people are showing me how to put those to work in God's service, and I will be forever grateful to Royal Oak First United Methodist Church for finding me when I was broken.
Good morning, my name is Mark Thatcher. And I'd like to thank this church for giving me and my wife, Catherine, the opportunity to participate in programs to feed the needy, the homeless, the hungry, and the forgotten. I mean, we serve over 15,000 meals a year, 7,500 bag lunches and 7,500 hot meals. And thanks to Dolores Greer and to Shirley Harris, we make this possible. And you'll really, if you ever participate in the program, you'll see you get way more out of it than what you give. These people are really thankful for what we do.
Renee McCarge, and my new life looks like I am prayerfully, joyfully, and obediently committed to putting Jesus Christ at the center of my life every single day. And I want to thank Royal Oak for being a part of that journey with me.
It's not just an idea, is it, God? It's not just a day. It is the way. It is the truth. And it is the life. So God, we give you thanks for the way that you are rising up in people's lives. The way that you're extending the circle so that all might belong. We give you thanks that you are sending us out with an overflow of justice and passion to help stand with our brothers and sisters who are on the front lines and suffering in this world. God, I ask everyone here today to pause for a moment and just think back over this year and go to that one place where you've been brought hope. The one time where you received some healing, where you got some mercy, where you got a new chance, a new opportunity, and realized that that was Easter. I invite you now to think of the person or persons that came into your life this year. Maybe they were new. Maybe you've known them a long time. Maybe you live with them. Who are those persons or people that carried you through this year? That showed up when you needed them? Bring them to mind and realize that they were Easter. I'm sure there isn't one of us here today that didn't say goodbye to somebody this year. Somebody who didn't move away or didn't move on. This morning here at Royal Oak First, we remember Judy Friedman. Judy left us this holy week and went back to be with the God who gave her to us in the first place. We were blessed by her. She had great friends who loved her when she wasn't always easy to love. Who'd you say goodbye to this year? Whose memory rises in you today? Realize that they were Easter, where it's not just an idea, it's not just a day, it is the way that leads to truth and to life.
Oh,
way in to worship, we were gathering out in the hallway. You were coming in. The place was packed. The energy was full. And through the doors walked my friend Josh Bryant. Josh is a Division I college football player, defensive back for Southern Methodist University. And I came walking and I said, "Brother, give me my pep talk." Pulled me in. He said, "It don't matter what's happened before this. This is the sermon you got to preach today. So leave it all on the field." So, let's see if it works, coach. Let's see if it works. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, I simply ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock. You are our hope. You are the one who both calms us and unsettles us. So do it both today. Amen. Well, I hate to start this sermon like this, but I really got some bad news I got to get out of the way before we get any further. I got some really bad news to start Easter out with here today. And the bad news is you're in the wrong place this morning. I know, you're in the wrong place this morning. I know that is the worst news to have to stand up here and deliver, because look at you all. You look beautiful today. You all got dressed up, you got up, you got showered, you put your ties on, you look good. I mean, we got the Huber boys in the front row today. I mean, gosh, you know what I mean? It must be Easter, right? You know what I mean? It's good stuff going on here today, and the preacher's going to stand up here and tell you you're in the wrong place today. Because what you came looking for today, I'm sorry to tell you, you might not find it here today, because he's not here today. He's not here. That's right, you heard me. He's not here today. I know you're here, and I know you're looking for Easter, but it's not what you're going to find here. Well, I mean, I know you came looking here for Jesus. I know you heard the stone had been rolled away. I heard heard that death couldn't keep its hold on him. You heard that he had risen, so you showed up here this morning hoping and expecting to find him here. So, well, once again, I get to be the bearer of bad news. He's not here. You see, that's my job this morning. That's my job every Sunday morning. I get to be the one who has to stand up here and tell you the truth. And since I have to stand up here and tell you the truth, and I got to tell you the truth this morning, if you came here looking for him, you might be in the wrong place. Because you heard that part of the story, didn't you? Heard that part of the story that Renee read, right? The church got up early that Easter morning. They got all dressed up. They looked for a way to find him. I know Michelle's worried I'm going to trip over her shakers right here, so I'll just kick them off to the side. The church got up early that first Easter morning. They got all dressed up. The women, they came looking for him. They stuck their head in the tomb. And there was the Easter angel said, "He's not here. I know you came looking for Jesus, but he's not here. See, right here, here's the place that he laid him, but he's not here right now." You see, Jesus busted loose. Jesus is always busting loose. Sure, we might get a hold of him for a while, but he always busts loose. Folks always try to box him in, try to control him, but he busts loose. They try to nail him down, try to entomb him. They seal a little stone on their heart and say, "Oh, Jesus, I got you right here in my heart." But he busts loose. I mean, think about it this morning. Today is Easter. I mean, I ain't ever going to get a crowd like this again until next year at Easter. I mean, some of you, I'm going to have to wait a whole year to see. Right? And so why don't I get up here today and give you the sermon you came here to hear, and all I can do is be the one who stands up here and has to tell you that if you came here looking for him today, he's probably not here. I know what you're saying. Some of you are saying you've blown the moment today, preacher. This was your chance. I mean, that's what coach told me, to give him the best sermon I got, and I'm up here saying, "Oh, you probably came to the wrong place today." Josh is like, "We're going to have to talk after this, Jeff. We are going to have to talk after this." You see, Jesus busts loose. He's loose on the world. I mean, you noticed that in the story today, didn't you? You noticed that in that first Easter account, the way Mark tells the story, you don't even get a glimpse of the resurrected Jesus. The church shows up expecting to find Jesus all nestled into where they left him, and this angel comes along and says, "He's not here. He's gone ahead of you. He's already gone to Galilee. That's where you'll find him. He's in Galilee." And where is Galilee? Galilee was the neighborhood. Jesus went back to the neighborhood. Jesus went right back to where he started in the first place. Jesus went back to be among the very people he started out his whole ministry to be in love with in the first place. Jesus went back to the very first place that he ever healed somebody. Jesus went back to the places where the hungry people needed to be fed. Jesus went back to the neighborhood. And the Easter angel says to the church, you want to find Jesus? Then he's going to be right where he told you he's going to be. Because remember, he said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was homeless and you found shelter for me. I was sick and in prison and you came and visited me. And we, the church, go, oh, Jesus, I don't know when you were hungry and I fed you. I didn't know when you were homeless and I gave you shelter. Jesus, when did I come visit you? Jesus said, surely, when you've done it for the least of these, you've done it for me. See, Jesus is back in the neighborhoods today. You want to know where we're going to find him? He's at a nursing home right now, sitting in a wheelchair, lined up with all the people he loves. All the ones who nobody's going to come to see today. He's sitting there with them watching Family Feud. Because it's on all the time. Oh, you might have to look for him, but you'll find him there. You want to know where Jesus is this morning? Jesus is the guy pushing the shopping cart up 8 Mile right now on his way to the shelter to get a ham sandwich, a warm cup of coffee, and a new pair of shoes. Exactly. You might have to look for him, but you'll find him there. You know where Jesus is right now? Jesus is at an AA meeting. Right now. Because there's one going on right now. Looking for healing and wholeness. You want to know where Jesus is? Jesus is planning the next Black Lives Matter rally with those people. He's there. You might have to look for him. But he's there. He's next door at Pronto's right now. With the same gender loving men and women who might be afraid that if they walked in here today, we'd turn them away. Jesus is there sharing life with them this morning. Looking for Jesus this morning, you'll find him tomorrow. You'll find him tomorrow in the cubicle next to you at the office. All you got to do is walk by him and say, how you doing? How is your family? How's your chemo going? Jesus is waitressing at Jimmy's right now. Bagging groceries at Hollywood Market. See, that's where Jesus is. Where he said he would be. In Galilee, in the neighborhoods, among the people that he's always out there loving and serving. And so, yes, I got the unenviable job every Easter to stand up here in front of the church and go, hey, thank you for coming, but you're in the wrong place today. In fact, I was going to talk to Patrick and the Board of Trustees of renaming the church today, the First United Methodist Church of You're in the Wrong Place Today. He said it wouldn't fit on a t-shirt. He couldn't come up with an acronym for it, right? You know? Story. His name is Greg Boyd. Oop, one too many, there you go. His name is Greg Boyd. Greg is a Jesuit priest who serves in South Central LA. He used to be a parish priest at a small Catholic church that was ground zero for LA's heart of its gang life and activity. And after a few years of parish life, he got sick and tired of the young men and women of his community continuing to lose their lives in the street. He was tired of sitting in the church praying that something would change. He was tired of the only time he ever talked about the promise of Easter when he was standing over a dead body. And so Greg got sick and tired of staying in his church. So he got out of his church and he got into the neighborhood and he started to make connections. And that connections led to him starting an organization called Homeboy Industries. Homeboy Industries today is the nation's number one gang prevention and employment program, whose slogan is, "Nothing stops a bullet better than a job." And so he spent the last 30 years helping gang enemies stand next to each other and make tortillas and print t-shirts and open cafes in order that somewhere along the way they would find the dignity that was already within them. Father Greg tells the story about Bandit. Bandit was a young kid that he saw work his way up the gang life. He was one of the smartest kids in the neighborhood. Greg said he'd always come up to him, ask him if he wanted a real job. Bandit always said, "No, Father, I'm all right." So finally, one day, he looked up in his office, and there was Bandit standing in front of him. Bandit said, "I'm just tired of being tired." Father Greg got on the phone. They found him a job entry level at the warehouse. Cut to 15 years later. Bandit's running the warehouse now. He's the supervisor of the supervisors. Bought his own house. Married. Got 3 kids. He called Father Greg out of the blue. Hadn't talked to him in a couple years. He said, "Yo, G, I need you. It's my oldest girl." Father Greg, thinking the worst of what happened. Is she sick? Is she in trouble? What's going on? He said, "No, G. She's going to college. And I'm scared. See, G, nobody from my family's ever been to college. Would you pray for her?" So they brought her into the front lobby of Homeboy Industries, and there this priest, along with her mother and her father and their children, all laid hands on this young woman that was going off to school, and they prayed. Greg said there wasn't a dry eye in the place, and as they got done to leave, Father Greg pulled that young man that he helped grow up aside, and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know I'm proud of you." To which Bandit straightened up and said, "You know what? I'm proud of me too." And it was Easter. It might not have been Easter, but it was Easter.
Amen.
You see, that's where I'm supposed to end this sermon now, and I'm supposed to send you out to go to brunch, and I'm supposed to go home and take a nap and roll the stone in front of my tomb and not arise for 3 more days. But you see, something happens here on Tuesdays that you might not know about. Tuesdays at 11:30, whoever the preacher of the day practices right in here to a small group, and they give us feedback in hopes that the sermon we give you today has been improved by others who listen to it. And so I preached this sermon up here about how Jesus is in here and Jesus is out there. And my good brother Andrew Sluss, who's sitting right out there, he stood up afterwards and says, "I get what you're saying, preacher, but you're missing something. Jesus is here. Sitting right next to Peggy Gill. He's been sitting next to her for 88 years. And he's over here sitting next to Lee Hoffman. He makes sure that she gets here every week. And he's back there with Dory Britson, making sure that she gets visited. She's with Audrey Leanhouse, who's remembering her husband Keith this year. God, Jesus is all over this place, Jeff. So yeah, you can tell them to go find Jesus out there, but don't let them forget that Jesus is already active in here, and all you got to do is ask them to roll away the tomb that's in front of their heart and unleash the love that they found here out on the world in somebody else. So Andrew, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for perfecting this sermon today and reminding us we found what we're looking for. Now we got to give it away. So come and meet me here next Saturday morning. We're going to go out to the west side of Detroit. Come to our Justice League meetings where we continue to figure out how we're going to draw the circle wide. Come to Hope's Closet. Come to the Bag Lunch Program. Be involved in our faith abilities where we're going to make sure that every kid, no matter what their needs are, is welcome here in this place. Let's make Easter real. Not just today, but every day. Amen?
Amen.